Indonesia, Omion, Indonesia Today. Messages Voice of Indonesia with the news. The 53rd session of the Standing Committee on Palestine was held on Monday in Jakarta as part of the 19th Conference of the Parliamentary Union of OIC Member States, or PUIC. The committee session agreed to realize the two-state solution for Palestine's independence. And here is a voice report by Andy Perondoni.
The 53rd session of the Standing Committee on Palestine Monday in Jakarta agreed to promote the two-state solution as the main requirement for realizing Palestine's independence. Chairman of the Inter-Parliamentary Cooperation Agency of the Indonesian House of Representatives, Mardani Alisera, said that the results of the committee session would be submitted to the 19th Conference of the Parliamentary Union of OIC Member States, or PUIC, as the basis for a resolution to realize Palestine's independence.
Setelah ini kita akan bikin tim kecil yang
we will form a small team to summarize all the ideas and concepts and put them into conclusions that we will bring to the Standing Committee of PUIC. What makes me happy is that everyone agrees that the two-state solution for Palestinian independence is an inevitability that we must realize immediately. And thank God Indonesia is highly appreciated for conveying and being among the forefront in fighting for Palestinian independence. Furthermore, Mardani Alisera also underlined the importance of rejecting Israel and all entities that support Israel's genocide in Palestine. First, don't open diplomatic relations with Israel, because if we open diplomatic relations, it will be Israel's victory. Second, boycott not only Israeli products, but also products from countries that help Israel commit genocide. The 53rd session of the Standing Committee on Palestine is part of the 19th Conference of the Parliamentary Union of the OIC Member States, or PUIC. A number of things that are the focus of the committee session meeting are the current conditions in Palestine and humanitarian calls, development in the situation of Al-Quds and the Al-Aqsa Mosque, and the burden on neighboring Palestinian countries that have occurred due to Israeli aggressions against Palestine.
The main theme of Hazar 2025 serves as an important reminder in a world filled with tension. A celebration of the holiday of Hazar 2596 Buddhist era, which was centered at Borobudur Temple in Magelang, Central Java on Monday, carried out the theme, increase self-control and wisdom and create world peace. And here is a voice report by Desi Anugranov.
Indonesian Minister for Infrastructure and Regional Development Coordination Agus Harimurti Yudhoyono said, the theme of this year's Hazar celebration is very relevant to the current global situation, which is marked by uncertainty, conflict, and geopolitical challenges. He stated that the theme offers an important reflection for all parts of the nation, including Indonesia, to maintain stability and strengthen harmony.
Ini adalah tema yang sangat penting ketika dunia kita saat ini juga terus mengalami dinamika.
This is a very important theme, as our world today continues to experience dynamics that are often full of surprises, uncertainties, geopolitical tensions, even open conflicts and wars in many regions. The Asia-Pacific, including Southeast Asia and Indonesia, must always be ready to face these global dynamics, geopolitically, economically, and in terms of security.
Indonesia di dalamnya juga harus terus memiliki kesiapan untuk menghadapi dinamika dunia tersebut, baik secara geopolitik, ekonomi, maupun keamanan.
Agus Harimurti also emphasized that the spirit of Hazar should be a moral force for the nation in maintaining peace and building a better future. According to him, national development can only succeed if it's supported by a peaceful, safe, and united society that embraces diversity.
And listener, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Good afternoon for people who has just joined us on the internet channel. I'd like to say welcome to the Voice of Indonesia with the English program. Today we have a lot of things to bring to you. Of course, most of them are about Indonesia. And of course, you can still listen to our broadcast on our website, voanews.id, the application RRI Digital. And of course, the people watching from the internet channel. And this afternoon, there's me, Steve, who will be in here with you. And before going with other stuff, let's listen to this one. Raisa featuring Diva Baris with Mine.
I'm not afraid of the dark.
will talk about the weather and health. Make sure to stay tuned on Every Word's a Risk, Voice of Indonesia. Right now, it is the changing of the season. As usual, we are approaching the middle of the year, where usually we come from the rainy season into the dry season, and of course, we'll be back to the rainy season in the end of this year. And right now, with today's theme in VOI Talk in Voice of Indonesia is extreme weather and health. We would like to know on how should we go and keep our health up, of course, with a special guest. That is Dr. Agna Gayatri, family medicine specialist and subspecialist in family-oriented medical care, and also a lecturer at Universitas Gadjah Mada. How are you, Dr. Agna?
How are you? Good, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Okay, so doctor, I would like to ask you something. Currently in this changing of the weather, of course, changing of the season as well, the weather has become quite extreme, or we can say pancaroba in Indonesia. And what should we do to keep our health up usually during that season?
The extreme weather condition that's happening in the tropical climate, especially in Indonesia, the extreme would be heat-related, and then those related to, say, rainy season and floods. So in regards to heat-related illnesses, when things will get a little bit too hot sometimes, we need to take extra precaution on, heat exhaustion and heat strokes, especially for those working outside, being in the sun. And then we have to also think about dehydration, just making sure that we're hydrated and have plenty of fluids, water, because sometimes, you know, we work too hard that we forgot that we need to drink water and have our fluids replenished. And then, of course, we have to think about those with pre-existing conditions, those with already cardiovascular diseases and respiratory diseases, those in the dry season when it's particularly hot and particularly dry. We also need to think about all gas that's around us that might create allergies, and it will precipitate or cause asthma exacerbations and allergies related to respiratory disease that can also occur. And then on the might be floods, we have to think about infectious diseases as well in those times, where vector-borne diseases like from mosquitoes, like dengue, and chikungunya, where virus in endemic places, but more generally is dengue, chikungunya, where those are diseases that can develop from mosquitoes, and they will then get, if we are not fit enough, then we get dengue and chikungunya. And also, waterborne diseases when, you know, during floods, there's lots of regions that get floods during the rainy season. We need to be aware of leptospirosis, which is from rats, from floods, and then because there are usually lots of running water and water that's around in dirty roads, sidewalks, and things like that we need to think about. Yeah, so that's the general idea of the extreme weather conditions and its impact on our health in general.
Oh, I see. So, you've mentioned people with allergies. So, I have a friend that have allergies, especially in the changing of the weather. So, what is the best move for people with allergies, especially in facing this current extreme weather changes?
So this is interesting because sometimes the response to allergy is different from one person to another. And not only that, but it depends also as well on how sick the person is. So sometimes when you're fit enough, you might not get such as a bad reaction. But then if you're in a condition that's not so well, you're not so sick, you'll get a more prominent reaction. So usually during the dry season. So usually during the rainy season, it's pretty humid. It's not too dry. Sometimes that's a good condition for those with allergies because their airway is humid. So they're not really prone to irritation, but then when it's in the dry season, when it's pretty dry, the airway, it's easily irritated, so then they can exhibit symptoms of allergic reactions. So especially those who use motorcycle everywhere, I always say to them that make sure you wear a mask. And then, there's a physical barrier between, you know, outside dust and pollutants to your airway, that's the thing. And also then to keep fit, make sure that, in being fit, it sort of reduces the chances of having a bad reaction to an allergy.
Yeah. Okay, so in like being fit, so what intake should be considered to increase the body's endurance, especially for people who doesn't usually work out too much, especially like just regular people who just go work, go home?
It's good that you mentioned that any form of physical activity is good, even if, you know, if we don't go to the gym, or, you know, we don't exercise regularly. I still always tell people to just be active in any chance that you can, say parking, if you don't park so close to the venue, like say you get to walk a little bit, and then take the stairs, instead of taking the elevator if you can. And just try walking, especially those who work, you know, in front of a computer, on a desk, just take like 10-15 minute breaks every 1 hour or two, and then just walk around the office, or, you know, stretch your legs, stretch your arms. Any little physical activity is better than none. So I say try to do that still. But then you can always then, aside from physical activity, there's always, you know, things that we can consume, food intake. So immune boosting foods such as vitamin C rich fruits. We have plenty of oranges or mandarins. We have a lot of guavas, right? Pineapple, so they're quite rich in vitamin C. It doesn't always have to be like berries. If you look at international literature, they always say, eat some berries, it's not really available here. So yeah, oranges, guavas, papaya, pineapple, so they're fruits in they are rich in vitamin C. And also consume a lot of vegetables, but our leafy greens. We have kangkung, water spinach, things, cabbages, so they're great as well for immune boosters. And then, of course, protein sources, eggs, beans, tofu, tempeh, they're also good, rich in protein, so yeah, lean meats. And then another thing that we sometimes forget is zinc-rich foods. So zinc aids immune function and wound healing. So these are available in beans, like soybeans, but also green beans, and then seeds, peanuts, different kinds of nuts, and then also seafood. We are a country that has an abundance of seafood, so we have to make the most of it. And consume it ourselves, not just, for a living, but also consume seafood that's a good source of zinc. And, but also, not just the types of food that we eat, but also, cook it in a way that is nice, that is good to eat to consume. Because sometimes when people see, immune-boosting foods or, healthy foods, it seems to almost taste like only boiled, and then just eat it just boiled without any seasoning. It's fine to use seasoning and cook it properly to our liking, and eating it makes eating more fun. And, and we'll consume more of these immune-boosting foods rather than, just a little bit because it doesn't taste as nice, because we're not comparing it nicely. Yeah.
I see. So I will keep that in mind, especially if you are working the desk like me, who's a listener who just sit around just talk around in the studio. And of course eat good food as well. And also, I would like to ask, in some cases, for example, if someone already got their allergies or got the disease, especially in this changing of the weather condition, what is the best way to anticipate and handle it after it is already happening or before it's happening?
So the first thing would be prevention, as I said, so from allergies and those with pre-existing conditions, like chronic diseases, for those with asthma, depending on the severity of your asthma, you'd have either a routine medication that you need to take in the form of inhalers. So make sure to take that routinely according to your doctor's advice. So some people with mild to moderate asthma, sometimes they just need to take it when they feel a bit stuffy or they feel a bit hard to breathe, so they take, which is a reliever, as we say. But then there are other asthma conditions where you need to take the inhaled medication like twice daily, so do that. So take your medication as prescribed. So that's the best advice for any type of condition. So any medications that you get from your doctor, please take them as advice. And then to avoid conditions of extreme weather, such as in heat, make sure you drink plenty of fluids. And those say with cardiovascular diseases or diabetes, during times when it's very hot, sometimes they forget to drink lots of water, so they'll be dehydrated, more prone to dehydration than the individuals without pre-existing conditions. So make sure we drink plenty of fluids. And then continue blood sugar monitoring as well for diabetes. Just make sure you take your medications and make sure that, you won't go into a state of, as I said, dehydration or eating your enough, and so you won't get hypoglycemia. And then, fluid is an important thing that sometimes you forget. A lot of patients of mine sometimes forget that we need to drink water. Even if we drink tea or coffee or other types of beverages, it does not replace water. So even if we drink tea, 2 glasses of tea, we still need to drink that, 8 glasses of water. It doesn't mean that we then only have to take 6 glasses of water. So tea or coffee or any other beverages does not count into the recommended amounts of 8 glasses of water per day. So still, 8 glasses of water per day.
Okay, so make sure to drink water, while listening. Don't forget to drink water. And so, for the final question for today's topic is, is there any tips of dealing with the weather changes and the effects of global climate change in the long run?
Well, in the long term, it's not just physical conditions that we need to look after. We've been discussing beforehand about allergies, asthma, heat strokes, and things related to floods. But then also we need to talk about the mental health impact of climate change, because all these conditions of climate change, the extreme weather conditions, sometimes they don't directly impact our health, but the ripple effects of climate change will impact our health. And so that leads to mental health aspects. Like, of course, climate change has an impact on, food supply, the growth and, crops. And then this will then, in turn, affect our economy. And then our economy will then lead to our health in a way, on our mental health, I suppose, our stability, so that's, it creates anxiety, distress in people, and anxiety and distress, we can't take this lightly because it affects our physical self as well. Of course, we've mentioned a lot about how anxiety or distress would, we usually call it dyspepsia or MAH. But lots of people have that, so that's like a first sign of anxiety or distress that can lead to other physical problems. So in relation to climate change, all sectors need to be involved in, bearing this, getting ready for this, because in the end it will impact our health. I think, don't forget about our mental health and the effect of that towards our whole physical well-being.
Okay, thank you so much, Dr. Agna Jayapur, for your insights and also your solutions and tips and tricks on how to deal with the extreme weather.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, well, listeners, so in conclusion, our health is deeply connected to the environment around us, and as extreme weather continues to affect our daily lives, it is important than ever to strengthen our health care system and raise public awareness, and also take proactive steps to protect our well-being by also working together and, of course, with guarding yourself and keep your metabolism high up so that you don't get sick easily. And thank you so much, listener, for accompanying me in this special episode of VOI Talk on Voice of Indonesia with the theme Extreme Weather and Health with Dr. Agna Jayapur on Voice of Indonesia. And if you want to stay tuned and continue finding amazing interviews like now, you can check out our YouTube account and VOI Official, and I'll see you in another episode in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Hatiku, berharap, mungkin engkau kan berubah, sama cinta ibu aku, seperti hati.
People mostly say durian has strong smell and tastes weird, but chances are you're getting the bad durian. To pick the best durian, you only need two steps. Step one, check the stem. Good durians have soft and moist stem, not dry. Step two, knock it off. Good durians sound lower when knocked. Additional step. Some seller allows you to get a taste from the durian you pick. If not good, just pick another one. Now you know how to pick the best durian, and of course you should.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and live streaming on voanews.id and RFE Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: People Not Before, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Kisarani, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian pop and regional songs, international musical entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Which was recorded during the session at the Voice of Indonesia. If you want to check another episode of the session, you can check it on our YouTube channel, VOA Official. And after this, you can listen, or even watch, to a story about Bipoping the Next Generation.
Oh, my God.
watching us from Edit Internet Channel, and we're still available on viewers.ib and the application at RE Digital. So stay on Edit Service Voice of Indonesia. Thank you for joining us on Indonesia Today, only on VOI and at RE Net. Once upon a time, the angels did not fear. In the legend of the Tomaten, nine angels descended from the heaven to a pond. They took a bath in a pond belonging to Mamanua, a young pond. Mamanua fell in love. One of the angels, Lumandudu, became his wife. From the fated two worlds, a child was born. But one day, Mamanua made a mistake that forced Lumandudu to return to heaven. The angel said, should the child want to meet her, Mamanua must bring the child across the forest, river, and mountain, with the sun guiding their path. Lumandudu will be waiting at the end of the journey. Then Mamanua and his child took the journey until the small family was reunited in the castle of the angels. The legend of the Tomaten ended happily ever after. And that was the story of the most beautiful place that the angels picked, Likupa. On first-timers. The people are slow living here. Nobody is in a rush. Everybody follows their own beat. And of course, the majestic landscape. Find the warm and embracing sunrise at Larata Hill, when the light reveals the beauty of Thor's Minahasa. Hills and lines of trees, on the beautiful beaches of Likupang, the fresh air, the clear sky, the white sand, and the pristine water. No one can deny its temptation. In Likupang. It welcomes both the calm of the trees and the adventurous with boats, taking them to some hidden gems around Bulisan. and yet golden sky is not the depth of its beauty. The sunset in Likuba does show you its final glory once more before the night falls. That's the beauty of Likuba. Away from noises, anxiety, and deadlines. But believe me, it's always close to your heart. Come to Likuba. Come to your true home.